Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Okay, here I come. There I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. This is the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope, if you're not already, that you hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can do so at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, Audible, Red Circle, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with Neil Giraldo. Neil is a songwriter-producer. He's also a husband and main songwriting partner to Pat Benatar. They are being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's been a long time coming. So we're going to be talking about that, as well as his thoughts on the Class of 22. And the background players that he says should also be getting their due. Neil's going to go on to talk about assumptions and judgments we make towards artists giving back to the musical community, and his advice to younger musicians as well. We're also going to hear about the musical, the new musical that he and Pat are working on that reimagines Romeo and Juliet using Benatar's songs, as well as injecting complex rhythms into songs like We Belong, just to challenge pop radio audiences. It's all that and more. It's Kyle Meredith with Neil Giraldo.
Great, Kyle. How are you? Hey, I'm proud of you. You know why? You pronounced my last name right. A lot of people forget the R. I don't know why they Giraldo. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
That's great on that. It's a tough one. Well done.
It's all downhill from here. I'm sorry about anything
That's a good place to start. Thank you.
Man, it is such a pleasure to meet you and talk down here. I know we've got a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to get to about a musical and everything else, but I still want to start because you and Pat Benatar, you're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. You're part of the 2022 class. This might be one of those abstract questions, but what does this mean for you?
Well, yeah, you know, this Rock Hall question has been around for many years, right? So truthfully, there's never really a good or bad answer to say with this. But other than the fact, it is an honor. It is an honor that it's going to be happening. I like to say this as well, that nobody goes in alone. It's really, you know, there's an old saying, it's an old saying that I've lived, and it was a mantra I used in the beginning with all bands and things. You could be, what you can accomplish by not caring about who gets a credit is really the truth. It really is. And I live by that. And I've always done that throughout the record recording process of everybody I work with. So, you know, there's difficulties in accepting it just on your own because you want to bring everybody that you've ever had make noise with you, make record with, you know. So, like I said, there's never a good answer or a bad answer. I am honored. What do you do when you write your first song and have it recorded? Are you worrying about accomplishments? No, you're worried about having a career. You don't even think about it, right? So, but it is an honor. It really is. We are very grateful for that.
It's a good class. I should say it's a good class too. I mean, you guys are going in with Eurythmics and Duran Duran. I just had Simon on here talking about that. Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Judas Priest, among many others. Dolly Parton, Eminem. Yeah. Is there any point? Like, I don't know how close you are with any of these artists, if at all you have friendships. But in my dream world, there's now like a group text that's been started. That's
no, there's no group text. You know. You know, the thing with the musicians too is that there's all these impressions. I try to teach our daughters things about impressions. I have this thing, assumption plus judgment equals X, right? Because you see some people assume what you are and then they judge you accordingly. It's sort of like human nature, right? So how many times do you think the percentage of that is right? Just take a guess.
Right. It's probably not often.
Right. No, not often, right? You assume something, you judge, and then, right? So I don't assume anything. I don't judge anything other than I've met so many people, and so many people are exactly the same as you. And it's all the same. You know, people are thoughtful and kind, and they're musicians, so we're basically in a can of wacko anyway, right? So that's one thing we can get along with. So, you know, I look forward to meeting them. Eminem, I love what everybody has done. I mean, I listen to everything, you know. So,
well, I'll ask this one based on the artistry, then, not on the personality. And you may not have an opinion on this, but because we're here and we're doing this, do you have that opinion of who deserves, who it's criminal that's not in the Rock Hall yet?
Oh, I do, but I don't know if it's segregated to just the Rock Hall. In other words, you know, all the great musicians that are unknown, that. Without that do-do-do-do-do, you know, without those things, where is that song? I mean, of course, it's still going to be there. But there's so many unknown great, great players that impacted so many great records for so many people, right? So that's the criminal part of that, of not including them. I think it would be cool if they broke it down in the segments. You know, you got the artist thing. Then what about those musicians part? I know there's certain... Hall of Fames for that, you know, songwriting Hall of Fame and, you know, musicians. But wouldn't it be cool to be in that Rock Hall umbrella, right? That's my feeling. That's what I see, because I know how hard a lot of these musicians work, and I know what they contribute, and producers that don't get the credit. I mean, it's that's a shame. So that's my answer.
When you get those type of things, you're right, because you'll hear of these amazing musicians like, oh my God, they were on all of those records. Jaco played bass on how many records, you know? It's like, what, you know, what does that become its own thing? I hadn't thought of that actually in that way, but you're completely true. And, you know,
or just a section of it, you know, a section where we specifically pick these people, alive or not, you know, it's just important that they're in there. I mean, you know, I'm involved in a foundation I started. Well, many give back programs. Do you realize how many people don't even have tombstones? Like Sunhouse didn't even have a tombstone. All these things are important, you know, and people need to be recognized that without the pioneers, none of us would exist. Period, you know. So,
yeah. Well, is that one of the things you do with the tombstones, or is that just a random?
That was early on with the blues societies through a spirits company I started called Three Chord Bourbon. I started a foundation, a separate foundation that had just started about 2 months ago, which is fantastic. Just the beginnings of it. So yeah, it's a give back program. I'm very thankful. My father taught me how to be gracious and have gratitude in all things in life. And I really want to give back to those people that work so hard that people don't recognize. It's very important to me. Very important.
That is absolutely beautiful. So thank you from all of us fans of making sure that that flag is being waved.
That's good. Yeah. Woven, past, present, and future. Yeah,
it's all right there. And we'll be right back right after this. Tour set, pop.
Or, hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. You're listening to Kyle Meredith with Neil Giraldo.
So I feel like I probably know the answer to this, considering everything we've talked about. But at least when you have the Rock Hall, something like this, that's looking back at your all's career, you know, over 40 plus years right here. I mean, is there that moment for reflection, even when you're just thinking about what songs are we going to play? Do you open that door at all?
Sort of not really, truthfully. I know we have a time limit, speaking of songs, so we're, you know, 8.5 minutes, so we got to figure out, what is it, 3 songs? Is it 2 songs? A lot of things go in, like who's going to be the presenter, it's not complicated, but it is busy. It's a busy thought process, right? The other thing, too, that a lot of people don't understand about, let's say, Patricia and I with this, is that we were partners from the very beginning, like the very, very beginning. And in so many ways, people never knew what we really did. So they never understood. So back to the assumption plus judgment, they thought, like, there's a singer. This is a funny thing that I don't even know how many years after, maybe 5 or 6 years after we started, people would come up and say, you know, that Pat Benatar is a hell of a guitar player. Did you hear? I mean, they had no idea that I wrote songs, produced records, nothing. They had no idea. So this is kind of cool, because people that are out there, that young musicians, this is what I want to give to them. I want them to understand that do great work, do the best work you can. Don't worry about the accomplishments in it. Just do the best you can and live with that. And in the end, when truth is exposed and people actually understand when there's integrity involved and when you speak the truth, it means a lot to people. And you can live that life. I'm still looking for Hank Williams somewhere that's in his basement somewhere. I'm telling you, I'm looking for that person. I know they exist. They have to.
I would like to think that person still exists in this era, because you're right. It can be very easy to, I guess, to get cynical about that.
you know,
sure.
Especially as we get, I get older, you know, anybody gets older, that I think that sort of starts to naturally come in. Like, where's the purity? Where's the realness? Where's, you know, it's.
Yeah. You know, but then you think about rock music and think that music's supposed to piss your parents off, you know? So now I'm like a grandfather, you know? So now what am I doing? Pissing off my grandchildren, you know, hold on a second. No, they're pissing me off. But that doesn't happen. They're too cute. They'll never do that.
That's great. Well, you are staying busy and you are still doing interesting things. Let's talk about this musical, Invincible, the musical.
Yes.
Which I want to let you get a setup on this, but here we have the story of Romeo and Juliet, sort of classically, but it's different, right? So what is the idea?
Okay, it's reimagined. That's important. And it's not a jukebox musical, because I wouldn't do a jukebox musical, because I just didn't want a collection of old songs that were done exactly like they were presented in a story. So what was exciting about this was to be able to do the reimagined version of the story of Romeo and Juliet using our songs, but differently arranged, orchestrated differently, even a little twist in some melodies, just a little bit here and there, just to get a little bit deeper and get off course a little bit, right? And some new songs. I think we have 5 or 6 new songs in there as well, right? So we tell the story of Romeo and Juliet with a twist, a lot of twists and turns, but it's dark, it's powerful. And I love it, being the orchestrator and arranger with this, because I'm able to kind of, I don't want to redo what I've done the same way. That's not me. I already did it, right? So what I want to do is if I can open it up and explore and try to do some of the things that I would have done if I was doing them right now, instead of back then, 40 years ago or so, it's exciting to me. You know, a lot of depth, different rhythms, which I love. I base everything on rhythm first. So I'm having a fun time with it. We're having a good time. It's a long time to do one of these things. It's not overnight. It's like 7 years, I think, we've been doing it. So it's great.
Well, that's, you know, you talk about the twists and turns and it being a reimagining. You know, one of the lines I read about, you know, you've got a figure here who's destroying progressive resistance. And I don't know, I guess I should ask, what attracted you to this version of it? And is there a reflection, you know, in modern time reality, however you want to say that?
Yes, because it reflects to the political world strong, because you got the Capulets and the, you know, Montague. So you have two different societies growing in a really apocalyptic world, right? So there's not a whole lot. There's a lot of similarity, sadly, you know. But in the end, and I can't tell you what happens, but there is an understanding and a resolution, so to speak. And, you know, and when you tell a story, here's another part which was interesting. And a lot of people have been coming up to us like that, is that the songs fit the storyline so great. It's almost like they were written at the same time. It's really, really interesting. The other thing that's cool too is people may think they're all just the hits. They're not. There's a lot of songs that were album songs that people, when they hear them, are going to go, what song was that? When was that a hit? Because it's that powerful, right? So
exciting. I mean, that's what you get to do, though. I mean, I guess that's the obvious question, is, you know, how you pick your songs. Like, did these songs find their way in because you found that they sort of talked with the story?
Correct. They followed a storyline. Pretty amazing. I had a song, Disconnected, in there that, you know, it wasn't a hit, but boy, it fits in. It explains it so well. There's a song called Brave, super, super powerful song, ballad, that it was incredible and was lost in one of the records early on. Untouchable, Kingdom Key, another song which was kind of lost as well. Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it works. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear at least a little bit about the new songs you wrote for it too, because we get new songs.
Yeah, there's
new songs. All the time these days, you know. So I mean, what can you tell me about these new songs? Just anything.
Well, I can tell you is that they followed, they were written knowing what the story is and applied in, right? So it's like this, I think there's 5 or 6, whether all those 5 or those 6 exist in the full version in the play, I'm not certain. They will be included in the whole scope of music post play, right? So, I mean, I can tell you titles, but you're going to kind of go, What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. I guess talk about more about styles, but that was going to be my question is like, are there plans to record this? Does this become its own album at the end of this all?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And the fun part for me, because through Patricia and I's career in this particular entity, though I've done many, many things outside of what we do together, but in this particular entity, in pop music, I like to really challenge the audience. That was really important to me, not dumb them down. So by doing songs like We Belong and Love is a Battlefield, where we're complex rhythms, different types of things that people weren't used to hearing, I like the clutter of that. It's not clutter. I'm using clutter as a positive term, not a negative one. Like the clutter of having these different elements of production of instruments, right? So now with this, I can say, okay, here's my orchestra, trombone. Where does trombone fall in anything we've ever done? Ah, that's a question you ask. Where does baritone sax live? Ah, funny you ask. Wait until you hear that. It's not just guitar driven. That's the last instrument I'm putting on is a guitar. Everything else, if it's strong and the depth of rhythm is going to exist, guitar is going to be added at the end. That's how I...
That's interesting.
That's where that energy is going to come from.
Yeah. So if we were to look back at all within your discography to find a thread, it sounds like maybe True Love was probably the closest thing to maybe some of this. You just get to use so much instrumentation on that, I guess is what I'm getting to.
Correct. No, it wouldn't be that. I know you mentioned that because it was the big band and the blues sound with the trombone. No, I'm talking about the trombone being used more as like a voice. Rather than an ensemble, right?
I see. Okay.
And are you familiar with the band Morphine?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you got the baritone sax with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tremendous, right? You know how nasty that is,
right?
You know that's a nasty sound in there. So imagine that with a bunch of rhythms and crazy kind of things going on. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, strings, dissonance. I want dissonance. A lot of dissonance going on.
Oh, I'm in love with everything you're saying right now. This is.
Yeah. And here's the other thing I want to do is I want musicians to play outside their zone. Again, something that may not be totally correct in what you're supposed to do, but as long as it creates that intensity. In other words, I'll give you one quick example and we'll get off that. It's a cello. Beautiful cello lines when they're played legato are beautiful and they're really sad and everything. But there's a whole part of that cello that doesn't have to be legato lines. That are going to really speak. And you imagine that with a baritone sax, you're going to create some serious energy.
Yeah, I cannot wait to hear some of this stuff. So for anybody who gets to watch it, like when are you all doing this and where is it?
It's going to be at the Wallace Theater in Southern California. And I think previews start right after Thanksgiving. I don't know the exact days. I think there's a week. Jamie probably knows more than me. There's a week. And then we do a month and a half, and then we may have a continuation after the first of the year too as well. So November 22nd, there you go.
Hopefully at some point this gets taken on the road too. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, the goal is to get to Broadway and then go on the road. Yeah.
Right on. Well, Neil, I'll certainly be hoping for that as well. In the meantime, like I said, it's just so cool to see. It's so cool to see what you all have done to the musical landscape over this entire time. And I tie that back in with the Rock Hall thing. It's so completely deserved. We're all such big fans. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk, man. This has been such an honor.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
My thanks to Neil Giraldo and congratulations to he and Pat Benatar on the Rock Hall induction. Thanks to you as well. For checking out the episode, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the full series, 3 interviews a week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, Audible, Red Circle, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you like to get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, at WFPK.org. Consequence, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All 3 of them, it's at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's a lot of new little things.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.